Okay, so let's start again. We're up to Perik Ches, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayitnu estosei hamelech leachashtapnei hamelech. They gave over, as they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, Ezra delivered the letter of the law of the king to the achashtapnei hamelech. And Perik Ches, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Ufachavos Ever Hanor. And the fachavos are the governors of the other side of the river, the west side of the Euphrates. The Nisu Esa'om V'Yespeis Olukim, and after it was delivered, they elevated the officials of the government, all of the Achashtar Pnei HaMelech, and the governors of the land, they took the letter very seriously, and they followed the instructions, and they elevated the people and the Beis Elokim and the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, let's see over here the Rashi and the Mitzvah. This pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayidu estosei hamelech halolu olei gola sipru mitzvos dayavish. Those who came up from the gola, they told over the mitzvah sipru. They related the command of dayavish hamelech legedolei hamelech roi ponav to those people, the great ones who. Rashi is coming to translate the word lachashtar pene. Chashtar pene are really three words. Achash means great. Dore, who live. Pene. Pene means in the presence. The great ones who have access to the face, the audience of the king. Achashtar pene means the inner circle of the king. People who are respected in the kingdom, who live and have an audience with the king of the melech. So the people who came from Gaul, they relayed all of the instructions of Daryavish. The next word of Rashi is ufachavos. This means ukmo ufachos. Over here, Rashi just points out that there's an extra vav. For whatever reason, we have here in this pasuk ufachavos. Ufachos. Normally we have one vav. If it was one vav, the vav is a cholam, but in this case, for whatever reason, we have a second vav, and the vav becomes a sound. Ever hanor. Many times the world was divided at this point in time into two parts. Those that live on the east side of the Euphrates and those that lived on the left side, on the west side, the east and the west. And therefore, the Ever Hanar are those that lived on the west side of the Euphrates. Vinisu, Shayimanasim, Umasayin, and they listened to what it said in the letter and they elevated and they encouraged and they provided the people who live in the area with all of their needs to continue to succeed in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's see the Mitzvah, the Stav, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Dasei HaMelech, Chok, Gezeras HaMelech, the law, the decree of the king, Asher Nosem B'yad Ezra, Kemosha Kosov L'malo, V'nisu, Hoyu Menasim, Umeremim Es'am, they elevated and they exalted the people. Okay, now we begin Perik Tes, Pasuk Aleph, Uch L'chalois Eile, and when this was concluded, Nikshu Elai Hasarim Leimon. Now, what exactly does it mean when this was concluded? So Rashi right away says, Devarim Halol Asher Sibru Dosei HaMelech. Simply means something was finished. The pasuk is a little bit vague. It's not telling us exactly what was complete. Kalois means to conclude. After the previous matter was concluded, then we're going to see that the leaders of the people living in Eretz Yisrael approached Ezra and related that there was intermarriage among the Jewish people. So we'll get to the intermarriage in a few moments, but first thing we have to deal with, what exactly was Kechalois Eila? So Rashi very simply says, Devarim halolu asher sipru dosei hamelech. After the Oilim presented the letters of Daryavish to the Achashtar Pnei HaMelech and the Fachavois Ever Hanar, and the people, the governors, and the Roi Pnei HaMelech followed the instructions of the letter to elevate the Jewish people, then it was told to Ezra that there was intermarriage. All the Farshim say that it refers, it's hidden. We don't know exactly know what, it's not referring only to what happened in Pasuk Lamed Vav, but there were other events that took place in between which we do not know. Something happened. And it's hidden. And the reason why it's hidden is because maybe it's not so important. Or maybe it is important, just that we do not know exactly what happened. According to what appears in Sefer Nehemiah, as Mir Tashem will learn later on, this event took place on the 17th day of Kislev. So we have to remember they arrived in the Beis HaMikdash, they arrived in Yerushalayim on the first day of Adar. They left on the 12th day of Nisan, and they traveled until the first day of Adar. They arrived in Av, Chodesh Av. They traveled for approximately a little bit less than 4 months, 3.5 months. They arrived there in Chodesh Av, and they settled in the land, and they gave over all the various kelim to the kohanim, to the gizbarim, and they did whatever they needed to do. And then from Chodesh Av passed Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, the 17th day of Kislev, a couple of months later, and that is when this pasuk, the events that are about to be recorded, took place. Let's see what happened. Let's read the entire pasuk. Nikshu Eli Hasarim Lamar, the leaders of the people approached me, saying, Ezra speaking in first person, he's telling exactly what happened, and they said as follows, Lamar, Lo Nivdalu Ha'am Yisrael v'hakoyhanim v'haladim me'amei ha'aratzos, that the people, referring the Am, who's the Am? The Yisraelim, the Kohanim, and the Levim, they did not separate themselves from the Amei Ho'arotzos, from the people, the non-Jews living in the land. And what did they do? What is so terrible about the Amei Ho'arotzos that are living in the land? So now we list 8 nations. Kis soy avo sehem. The Amei Ho'arotzos who are living in the land are following in the abominations of Lakanani, Hachiti, Haperizi, Hayevusi, Ho'amoini, Hamoavi, Hamitzri, VeHo'emori. The order is very interesting. I don't know the significance of the order. There are total here. There are a list of 8 nations. The first 4 and the last are from the 7 nations of Canaan. Canaani, Chiti, Prizi, Yevusi, and Emoiri. Those are 5 of the 7 Canaani nations. What happened to the other ones? Achiti, what about Achiti? No, we have Achiti, Emoiri, Prizi, Yevusi, Hargoshi. Where Hargoshi is missing. Aprizi, no, Aprizi, Yevusi. Yevusi is missing. Girgashi. Girgashi is not here. Girgashi is missing. Which one? Who else is missing? Hakanani, Haprizi. What are we saying? Davening. Eris Hakanani, Achiti, Hoemori, Haprizi, Vayevusi, VaHagirgashi. So which we're missing? We're missing. I don't remember. I don't know. Girgashi at least is not here. Okay, so that's something to take note of. Mitzri. Then we have 3 that are here: Amoini, Moavi, and Mitzri. Now these 3 nations, you're not allowed. They're not allowed to come. Loyavi, Amoini, Umoavi, Bikahal Hashem, Ad Olam. These nations may never come into Klal Yisrael. Only Amoavi and and Ammoni, but not a Moavis and Ammonis. That's why David HaMelech was allowed to come into Klal Yisrael, because Rus HaMoavia was from the females, not from the males. And it's to me, Darko Elot says, to greet the men, not the women, so the women are not held accountable. And then we have the Mitzri. A Mitzri may not come into Klal Yisrael for 3 generations. But nevertheless, they may not come. Now, what's important to know, and the Mepharshim point out, that these nations no longer exist. They were wiped out. Kenani, Chiti, Prizi, Yevusi, and Emori no longer existed at this point in time. It's clear from history and from Shoftim, Sefer Melachim, they were obliterated. They were wiped out, and any pockets of them that remained were dispersed throughout the world. They no longer count as nations. Now the nations of Ammoni, Moavi, and Mitzri certainly seemingly did exist, but that's also debatable, because we know that Melech Ashur came along and was Mebalbel Kol Ha'olam Kulo, dispersed all the people of the world 125 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. Melech Ashur conquered Eretz Yisrael, he exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, and during that period of time he basically conquered the entire entire world, and to make sure everyone behaved themselves and no one would be a source of trouble, he mingled, he uprooted all the various nations and relocated them in different parts of the world so they should not feel comfortable in their new land and they would not make trouble for him. Chazal have a debate, being that everyone has been mingled and dispersed all over the world, we no longer have the nations that are mentioned in the Torah. So this idea of Lo Yavi Amoni Umavi Bekal Hashem doesn't apply anymore Bizman Hazeh. This that Yinana may not marry someone from the nation of Mitzrayim for three generations does not apply Bizman Hazeh, because there's no such thing today as the biblical Egypt. There's no such thing today as a true Mitzri. There's no such thing today as a true even Amaleki, someone from Amalek Bizman Hazeh we don't really have, because everyone has been dispersed. That's one opinion in the Gemara. Other opinions disagree. They hold that it's not so, that nations, they did at a later point in time come back and resettle. They did come back to their homeland. Or a nation, even the new nations, the new people that occupied the land, they were influenced by the environment, and they became the new Mitzrayim, they became the new Amalekim, they became the new Amori, Umayyavi, and so on and so forth. Clearly, there's a lot of discussion. If the Nazis, Germany, the Germans, if they are the nation of Amalek, some want to say yes, some want to say no. This is all, the Av Yaakov Emden has a discussion, Germania shall Edom, is Germany, and that refers, that's descendants of Amalek. This is something which is debated among Mefarshim, but whatever it is, whether it's true, whether it's not true, that's not what the Pasuk here means. Because clearly when it comes to the nations, or at least some of the nations of Canaan, they no longer existed at this point in time. So when the Pasuk says here, Kisoy Avo Sehem, what it means is, and this is a very important point because we have to understand where the Jewish people were coming from in this, that they did intermarry with other nations. Because one thing is clear, you're not allowed to marry a Canaanite. A Canaanite, it's forbidden for there to be any type of marriage between the Canaanim, and certainly this the forbidden explicitly between the Amoni, Moyavi, and the Mitzri. There cannot be any intermarriage.
Even if the women
can.
So what do you say, Rabbi? Do you feel that this is a failure?
No, let's explain. Let me explain. Let's explain what we're coming to address. So that's what you have to connect the word here, me'ameho arotzos. The people that the non-Jews that intermarried with the Jews were not from these nations. They were not. They were from the Amei Ho'aratzos. That has to be made very clear. And the Pasuk says that. These were non-Jews that were living in Eretz Yisrael. It could be maybe some of them were people were non-Jews from Bavel who came up with the Jewish people. They were Goyim from the Amei Ho'aratzos. And therefore, that is why many Jews felt there's nothing technically wrong with marrying them.
In other words, they were not. They had no identification.
Exactly. They had no label, or even if they did have a label, they were not part of these eight nations, which are taboo.
And we're not told who they are.
Right, we're not told who they are. They were from Bavel, from Ashur, from the other parts of the world. What we call here simply Me'amei Ho'aratzos. However, the problem is, even though they were not biological descendants, or in halacha, were not considered anymore biological descendants of the nations of Canaan, which you have to obliterate. There's no place for them in Eretz Yisrael, and they're not biological descendants of Amoni, Moavi, and Mitzri. They still followed in their abominations of what these nations traditionally did. In other words, okay, we're not experts today in their customs, but in the nation of Moab, they worship certain types of idols. In the nation of Ammon, they had a certain way of living. This is you can identify by their dress, by their culture, by their values, by the things that they did. You can identify a person this person comes from the nation of the Prizi. Because the Prizi, this is the idol that they worship, and this is the Meshagas that they're Isaac in the entire day from the Prizi. So these people that we're discussing, they're not descendants. They're the Amei Ho'aratzos. but they were guilty of following in the lifestyle of the sins. It was kir soy avoy sehem. It was like their abominations. And this, the Mefarshim, I saw that, I think, in the art school where I saw this. Maybe I saw this somewhere else. But I saw this maybe in Das Mikra. The Das Mikra, I think, it says explains that the pasuk means that was their mistake. The Jewish people who had intermarried with them felt that there's nothing. We're not violating any halacha because the Torah only says that you have to destroy the nation of Canaan, the seven nations of Canaan, and you're not allowed to intermarry with Ammoni, Moavi, and Mitzri, and they're not. They're not descendants, they're not biological descendants of these nations. Okay, so they happen to worship the same idols. They happen to have the same set of values. It's not a technical violation.
So, Rabbi, let me ask you this. If anybody was in a position where they knew they would be annihilated if they were descendants of the Canaanites, what have you, wouldn't they say that they're from somebody else just to say...
That's exactly what the Givonim did.
Exactly.
But it doesn't matter. This was the land. They had a choice. It's not a discussion for now, but they had... When Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the nations living in Canaan had three choices. One was to become Gerei Tzedek, not to become part of Klal Yisrael, to observe the law of the land, or they can flee, they can pick themselves up. You want to worship idols? Do whatever you want, but get out. Go find yourself another land somewhere. Go to Uganda. You can have East Africa, it's all yours.
Yeah.
Or you want to fight? We'll fight with you. You want to go to war? That was a very big thing. We don't appreciate that in today's modern world. War. In ancient times, there was something to it. There was war. We'll go to war, and whoever wins, wins. Whoever loses is dead. So if you hold that you are better, that you're entitled, that you know better, we'll go to war, and Hashem promised that we will succeed and wipe them out. Okay, there are three choices: war, escape, leave peacefully, or if you want to live in the land, you have to follow the law of the land. But that's not the point. The point over here is they're coming out, and Ezra's being told that there are people from the Amalek, which we have to read a very precise understanding of the pasuk. The people did not intermarry with people that were from these nations, because that was a violation that they could not get away with. And they knew that. They knew they could not get away with that. So they intermarried. Now, did these people convert? It seems not. That was part of the problem. Had they converted, had these people converted, Geirus, a true Geirus, L'chaira, the Mefarshim discussed this, they would not have been criticized. Because if you want to convert, you want to be a Geir, you can, unless you're a Kohen. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geirus. That's a different story. But it appears that they marry these women, and these women did not convert. Okay, that's an Avera. But it would be a much more severe Avera if these non-Jews were from the nations that are not acceptable to Klal Yisrael.
They don't even care. They don't care whether they're converted or not. What would they care if they're from the Canaanites or not?
It seems that they did care. It seems that there are different levels in how far you go. I know today it's a hard idea because today, you know, everything's black and white. You're either one side or the other side. But the way the Mefarshim speak is that there was some conscience of how far you go.
Limited respect to
Falach. What?
Limited respect
to some degree. So now with that in mind, let's read the pasuk again one more time. This is a hard pasuk to understand. Uchachalois Eila. After this issue was concluded, it's mysterious what issue was concluded. Rashi learned simply after the letters were delivered to the Achashtar Pnei HaMelech, Nikshu Elai HaSarim Lemar, the leaders of the Jewish people approached me, Ezra, saying, "We have some bad news to tell you, Ezra. We got a problem. There is intermarriage among us. Lo Nivdalu Ha'am Yisrael." The Jewish people did not separate. Who among the Jewish people? Three categories: Yisrael, v'ha-Kohanim, v'ha-Leviyim. Now, Kohanim is really problematic because Kohanim are not allowed to marry. Not allowed to marry even a Geiris. Even if they are to convert, Kohanim may not marry a Geiris. So that's serious business because it's a debate: did they convert? Did they not convert? Okay. Who did they not separate themselves from? It's not as bad as it seems. They did not separate from the Me'amei Ho'arotzos, from the nations of the world. Stam, a Mexican, a Cuban, someone from an African, not from the nations that are blacklisted. So what's so terrible? You know what's so terrible? Even though the people they married were not from the nations that are blacklisted, however, these people are very evil because they're biologically not related, but they have adopted their customs of the eight nations. Who are they? But however, kisso avosehem, like the chaf is critical to understand the pasuk. Even though they are from the amei harotzos, but these people are following kisso avosehem, like the abominations of which nations? Eight nations: Lakanani, Hachiti, Haperizi, Hayivusi. That's five. It's four. Four of the seven nations of Canaan. Then come the three nations of the region, not Eretz Yisrael, Ho'amoni, Hamo'avi, and then Hamitzri. And then we wrap it back up with one more nation from the nation of the seven nations, Ho'emori, and the Emori. Okay? Now, Pasuk Beis, furthermore. What?
Chivi,
right? So why is it not mentioned here? I don't know the answer. It must be some historical fact. Probably a lot of this is lost from us of the character of the nation and what their beliefs, their ideology, avodah zarah, and the order here. I assume it's an order because this was the most influential. Next, what exactly do they do? Pasuk Beis, ki nasu mibnei sehem, they married from their daughters lohem, v'livnehem. They took their, now the criticism is interesting to note, is that it was a one-way intermarriage. It's that the Jews married non-Jewish women. We find no record of the daughters marrying non-Jewish men. We find no record of that. So that's interesting. It appears that the Nashim Tzidkaniyosim, we find the parallel, always the women, always are a higher standard, a higher level. They are never nichshol to the same degree the men. Cheto Egel. The women did not participate in the Cheto Egel, yeah?
Maybe it doesn't mention the women because the children are Jewish.
I understand that. That's true. But if we go further, it's a very good point. But look at the next words. Next, they're very, very important. So what's the kinasu mibno sehem lohem b'livneim? They took their daughters, the non-Jewish of the Ami Haratzos, who are following these abominations, for themselves and for their sons. The his orivu. So what's so terrible? So you would say what's so terrible is now the children follow the mother. The children follow the mother, and they're not Jewish. No, that's not what it says. The hisorvu zera hakodesh be'amei ho'aratzos, a mixture of seed. So the criticism is, it's just wrong. Forget about the fact that children follow the mother. The pasuk emphasizes the zera hakodesh, the holy seed of Klal Yisrael, the yichus of Klal Yisrael is now being diluted. It's being disturbed.
Seed is one way.
What?
It's only the male.
Yeah, that's okay. I hear what you're saying. Okay, that follows the mother. So we say that if the mother is Jewish, so it's not called v'sarvu zera kodesh. It seems not. It seems in the Farshim that the idea of zera kodesh is true even when a Jewish girl marries a guy. The Jewish girl marries a guy and they have a child. The child is Jewish. But that is still called this Orvu Zera HaKodesh. You're mixing in bad blood into Zera HaKodesh. The woman's seed is holy. The woman also is called seed. I know it's not, we don't refer to it. Isha Ki Sazria, right? So you do find the concept of Isha also has Zera. It's not scientifically how you're gonna finesse it. That's another issue. But you do Isha Ki Sazria. There is such a thing. This Arvu Zera HaKodesh B'Amei HaRatzos. Period. Now, who is involved in this transgression? Don't think it's just a simple folk. It's just a few little people here and there. The greatest of the great. The Yad Hasarim VeHasigonim. Now there is a two words. I don't really have a good translation. Hasigonim. The Mitzvah of Tzion says min sarara. It's another word. I don't know. It's a synonym for the word sarim. Sagan sarara.
Sagan.
Sagan. The secondary. They are second in charge. Sagonim. So he says lashon min sarara. Mitzvah is authority. The leaders and the sagonim. Hoysa b'mal hazer rishana. Mal means transgression. Rishana, they were the first. So they set the tone. If the Gedolei Hadar intermarry, so what's left for the simple people? So if the Gedolei Hadar can intermarry, why can't I intermarry? So this is what they told Ezra. Now let's see the Rashi. Let's see Rashi and the Mitzvahs. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph. Dvarim halalu asher after kichalois eila. As we mentioned before, according to Rashi, Rashi learns eila refers to this was according to this took place on the 20th, and we mentioned before on the 17th day of Kislev. A few months later, they arrived on the first day of Av. On the 17th day of Kislev, the following event occurred, and it was after kichalois eila. What's eila? Dvarim halalu asher sibru dosi amelach. After the Jewish people presented the letters to the Achashtar Pnei HaMelech, telling them that Ezra has authority to do in this land what he wants. The Hasarim Shel Yisrael, Leimar V'chein Amruli. So this is what the following they said to me. Pasuk Beis, Hoysa B'mal Hazer Yishana, Shehem Hischilu Limol Mal Lehischatein V'goyei Ho'arot Sos. They were the first ones to intermarry. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Aleph, Ukechalos Eilech, So notice right away, the Mitzudos is a little bit different than Rashi. Not the delivery of the letters, but rather after the Kalim were given over, Ela, after the Levium gave over the Kalim to the Kohanim, to the custodians, V'yes Dosei HaMelech, and also after the letters were given over to the authorities, Kiso Avo Sehem, Ratzolaymar, Oidam Oisim Kiso Avo Sehem Shel HaKenanim. Even though the people that they have intermarried are not part of the seven nations of Canaan, and not part of Amori, Moavi, and Mitzri, however, these people are following in the ways of these of their abominations. Pasuk Beis,
yeah? Yeah, I'm sorry. In Pasuk Aleph, Lo Nifnu, I was thinking to translate, set it up, Lo Nifnu will arm Yisrael, comma, the nation of Israel, rather than Yisrael. And then I saw Art Scroll.
Yeah.
He did it the same way.
Yeah.
Rather than Yisrael, Hakohen, in other words, arm Yisrael, okay, the nation of Israel, comma,
the Kohen and the Levim. So it's coming to the font, the nation of Yisrael and the Kohen and the Levim.
Right.
Okay, fine. So the, when we say nation of Yisrael, it means Yisraelim,
right,
and Kohanim and Levim. Three groups, three different groups. Or you want to say that
was, in other words, I want to say Am Yisrael, because if it would go separately, it would say Yisrael, Kohanim, Vehalavim. In other words, you would not need, the way you would want to translate it would say Yisrael, comma, Kohanim, Vehalavim. In other words, you
does say Vehalavim. The pause does have a
vav. But it wouldn't have a vav in front of the Kohanim. Israel, comma.
Okay, so you want to see, so the general term, a catch-all phrase.
Right.
And in addition, we have also the Kohanim and the Levim. Okay, fine, okay. Okay, let's see the Pasuk based on the Mitzvah of David. Ki Nasu, they married. Ki Laku Nashim Bibinoy Sehem, Ulaze Oichsim Bamasehem. So by marrying their daughters, that continues the tradition. When you marry a woman and the woman follows in her traditions, in her abomination, that's going to be born to the family. Zera Kodesh Hema Bnei Yisrael, Zera Kodesh of the Bnei Yisrael, Rishayna, the leaders, the Sarim and the Seganim were from the first Hemnasu Betchilo, Nashim Bibinoy Sehem, Omiyam Lamdu, yes, Sarah Am, and from them other people followed suit, they learned to follow in this way. Now there are a list of the farshim that say that it's not really true. It doesn't really mean it here in the pasuk. The pasuk should not be taken literally that the leaders could really, how you talking, that the Gedolei Hadar, they actually intermarried. And they were the first to intermarry? Are you talking such a thing? So simply, yeah. I mean, that's, if you take the pasuk at face value, the answer is yes. But those that are very disturbed to say such a thing, it means that they were silent. It was tolerated. The Hamoinam, they were members in society that intermarried. And they come to shul, and they get an aliyah, and they get covered, and they're honored by the dinner. And the Gedolei Hadar, quiet, silence, tolerance. What? And we have this all over Chazal, and whenever the Chachamim, the good people who are responsible, do not protest, it's as if they themselves did the actual transgression.
So, by silence.
Exactly. So that's how the sons of Yeshua Kohen Gadol, that's what it says later in Nehemiah, they didn't actually marry.
Well, that's part of the Tanakh. That's, I mean, that's what they...
So Yeshua didn't protest, that's what it seems. So, or, okay, that's...
What that,
okay. So these are the two different approaches. Either the Gedolei Hadar actually intermarried, or they themselves did not necessarily intermarry, but they were tolerant of what took place, they were silent, and therefore they are criticized.
And I wouldn't say Rishayah.
No, not necessarily. They were the first to be quiet. They would maybe
have to be an act before they were quiet.
It's not a question. Rishonim means it's an expression, which means they were guilty as sin. They it happened in front of their eyes. They went to the wedding and they were there, and they didn't say one word. They let it go by, and therefore they are guilty for letting this happen. Now here is that. But now that we're going to later on in Nehemiah, later on in Ezra. It wasn't so many people. It was only 113 people. But we have here from the time of Koresh 42,360. And now we have Ezra coming up 25 years later with another 1,700. And probably during this period of time there was a population spurt. So there must be 50, 60, 70,000 people. So from 60, 70,000 people, maybe even more came. We don't know really, well, whatever. But from these people, this group of people, only 113 intermarried. It's not so terrible. Like you said before, today the intermarriage rate in the United States is over 50, 60, 70% outside the United States. So it's not the end of the world. But we're going to see... Later on, and we're going to later on in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, it actually enumerates those that intermarried, 113. So the question is, why was it so? Yet Ezra Izeh Chacham Haraya Sanoilad. Ezra saw that if 113 people can intermarry, this would set into motion a process which would destroy Klal Yisrael. What? Yeah, this would destroy Klal Yisrael. And Uchashami Esadover Hazeh. So here we have Ezra's reaction when he heard this matter. Karati Esbigdi Umi'ili. I whipped. I rice kriya. My bigdi, my inner garment. Umi'ili is my outer garment. There's a whole shah of the person. Rachmanus says sitting shiva. Which garments he has to do kriya on? So we only have to go to kriya. On the outer garment, on the inner garment, on the shirt. Most poskim, 99% of the poskim, do not require one to do kriya on the shirt. The minute is only on the jacket, the shirt with some with machmir, some machmir. Okay, different customs, different customs on what has to, what kriya has to be done on.
Well,
but
the garment for that's wearing a jacket.
Right. So
the shirt could be the outer.
Could be the outer garment. Okay, so there are different opinions on this matter, but here Ezra did not spare any garment. Es bigdi umi ili, my inner garment, my outer garment, the emrita misaroshi, and I pulled out from the hair of my head uzukani. Now we have he ripped out the hair of his head, and he ripped out his beard, the hair of his beard, v'eshva mishaymeim, and I was silent, or mishaymeim means I was bewildered. I was in a state of shock. I was shocked. I could not believe that this is happening. Now the question over here is, how was Ezra allowed to rip out his hair? We have a pasuk of loyisuskoydidu v'loyisusimu karcha bein einechem lemeis. Explicit pasuk in the Torah, you're not allowed to gash yourself, and not allowed to make a bald spot over the dead.
It's not over the dead.
In a harami. So that's this. And the Shail and the Rambam, you have to go through all the pasukim. What about if a person has tsar over other issues. He loses a business deal. One of his boats, one of his ships sinks at sea. Is he allowed to pull out his seer? Does he violate the pasuk l'sim korcho b'nechem l'meis? So midrabban, he's not allowed to. Midrabban, one is not allowed to. So the question, how far it goes? But the pasukim say that there are cases where you are allowed to, and that is over the churban of the Beis Hamikdash, and in this instance, it was okay. There was no violation. It was not over the dead, and it was not over a loss of personal property. It was over a tsar of a klal Yisrael, and a tsar in klal Yisrael. Technically, there is no violation of leisasimu karcha bein enechem lemeis. Let's see Rashi and the Mitzudos pasuk gimel mishaymeim olav vishaymeim. Olav vishaymeim means it was sad and bewildered. Means he was bewildered amongst them. He was in a state of shock. Let's see the Mitzudos, how he ties the word over here of Mishaymim in the Mitzudos Tzion. Mishusok. Mishaymim is quiet. Vinelam, like an Elam, a person that cannot speak. Mashmim b'soicham, he was silent among them, referring to Yechezkel. Okay, let's see over here, Pasuk Gimel in the Rashi. Rashi Karati, Migoydel Hatzar, Balvur Hamal Hazeh, due to the enormous pain that I experienced due to this transgression of halacha of intermarriage. Mishaymim, Mishusak, Vinelam, Keder Hametzta'er, a person that is silent and is a mute because of incredible pain. So here he was in incredible shock over what happened. Now, I mentioned to you, when we learned the letter Kuf, just very handy, comes in over here, is that there's such a medrash that says that the Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of intermarriage. It does exist. I don't know where this medrash is. So we learned, we're more familiar with Sinas Chinam. And the Gemara tells us, there are many reasons, many midrashim. You go through the old midrashim, it's not just in Aschinam, Shloi Berchu B'Torah Tchila. They did not make brachos. They did not make a bracha B'Torah Tchila. But one of the midrashim that says why there was Chorban was because of intermarriage. And that's tied in, Katzti B'Chayai Mipnei B'Nos Ches. And this refers, that pasuk, Katzibach, when Rivka said about Yaakov Avinu, I want Yaakov to go back to my brother, Lavan, to find the shul to marry Rachel and Leah, she said to Yitzchak, Katzti b'chayai, my neshama is in a state of disgust, mipnei b'nos ches, if my son Yaakov would marry from the daughters over here of Canaan, they were living in Eretz Yisrael, and who was the primary the people living in b'nos ches? They were part of the Canaanim, living there in the land, if they were to marry one of these women. Rivka saw al piruach HaKodesh that the day would come where the descendants of Yaakov indeed would marry from b'nos ches. There would be a plague of intermarriage. And b'nos ches is like a catch-all for the nations of the world that are living in that country. And therefore her neshama, Rivka says, katzi b'chayai, and the kuf is a small kuf. Or is it a small kuf? It's a small kuf. Why is it a small kuf? Because the Beis Hamikdash is the dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash are 100 by 100 by 100. It was 100 wide in the front, the Ulam, and according to the Rambam, it was 100 wide through and through, and it was 100 long, and it was 100 amos tall. Three kufs, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And therefore, due to the intermarriage that will occur later on down the line in history, the kuf, the Beis Hamikdash, will be diminished, will be made small, will be destroyed because of intermarriage. So you already see in the Medrash an allusion to the fact that intermarriage is going to cause a great korban in Klal Yisrael, even in the time of Rivka, where there's an allusion to intermarriage. Katzti b'chayai mipnei b'nos chetz im lekeach Yaakov b'nos chetz lomali chayim. What do I have? I cannot tolerate such a terrible thing of intermarriage. It's the worst thing in the world. Lamali chayim, is that what she said? That's what she said. Lamali chayim, what do I want life for? And that's exactly the way Ezra reacted. Maisa avos simul labanim. The reaction of Rivka is the same type of reaction, or the reaction of Ezra parallels the reaction of Rivka to the idea of intermarriage. And here, also, at that point in time, did it happen? It didn't happen. Yaakov didn't get married. Yaakov was a bachur. He wasn't wearing the talus yet. He was a bachur. He didn't marry anyone. In fact, he's going to soon marry Rachel and Leah. But just the idea of intermarriage, lama lichayim. Here, Ezra, there was no intermarriage. Few people, 113 people, relative to 50,000, 50, 60, 70,000 people. It's nothing. It's not even 1%. It's nothing. But already the idea exists. There's such a possibility. People are entertaining the possibility. And what this can lead to? Katzti b'chayayim b'bnei b'nei oscheis. Emlokeach Yaakov b'bnei oscheis. Lama b'chayim. So it's a reaction, al shem ha'osid, similar to the reaction of Rivka for what's going to happen in the future. Okay, so now what happens? Pasuk Dalet. Ve'elai unto me, ye osu kol chorei. Now here we have this very powerful word. A lot of mepharshim, this word charedi appears, although it's not the only place it appears in Yeshaya, appears all over Tanakh. But here is where it really comes from. This term today, we discussed this by Rav Kefet. He talks about this, that this word charedi is it developed over time. Today it's a regular word in the newspaper. It's a word today which no one has any. It's not a negative. It's not a bad word. It, basically today in this our generation, our time, Hey Allah from Toshnayin Gimel means someone's a Shomer Shabbos, right? Someone's a Shomer Shabbos. Anyone that's Shomer Shabbos today, they already called charedi. But he says when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, probably going back more than 50 years ago, he said it was a dirty word. A charedi meant an extremist. Like you said, an Islamic fundamentalist.
A Taliban.
So in America, you have to be very polite. You know, there are people that practice the religion of Islam. They're good people. They don't harm anyone. They're very peaceful people. And then there are Meshugoyim. They're crazy people. They are the Islamic fundamentalists. They're like, man, they're crazy loonies living out, Taliban living out in Afghanistan in the caves. They want to destroy the entire world. They're trying to, who knows, do what. That is how the word charedi was used in Eretz Yisrael, he explains, more than 50 years ago. A religion, there are religious Jews. Everyone's religious. Everyone is Shomer Shabbos to a certain degree. A little more, a little less, this, that. Years of Yom Tov. But someone who's a fundamentalist, someone who's an extremist, does crazy things, that's a charedi. That's the way the term was used 50 years ago in Eretz Yisrael. It was a derogatory term in reference to someone who's Shomer Shabbos. He's too extreme. Today, he explains, and I think we see listening to the news, it's not used like that. Today, the word charedi is just another way to say the person is
ultra-orthodox.
Very true.
Everyone is ultra-orthodox. Well, there's also another term today.
It's still derogatory.
Not necessarily.
It depends to whom?
I don't.
A compliment to call somebody charedi.
What?
No, not a compliment.
No, I don't think it's. I don't think it's. I don't think anymore. That's what he's saying.
No,
I don't think so. Today, when you read the press, when you read the newspaper, in the Jewish press, when they use the word charedi, I don't think anymore charedi is an insult.
No.
It represents a segment of Klal Yisrael.
Why? Only the religious relatives who live in born in Israel and go to the army, go to the university.
They're also charedi.
No, definitely not.
Even though they're religious.
Right.
But when they go to the army, so it represents
the army. After they finish the army, they go to the university.
Okay, I don't really know then. I don't really know.
Shabbos learned in the Hester Yeshiva.
They're not considered charedi. They're considered.
Someone learns in the Hester Yeshiva is not a charedi. Someone who's in the Hester Yeshiva, I'm not so sure that's true anymore. I think that they people call those who learn Hester, they also call them charedi. I don't know. You have to ask there. You have to ask the people who know.
Maybe the echelon in the military are complaining that there are too many from officers in the Israeli.
The Tumi Charedim. Nachal Charedi. Right, isn't that one of the units?
But there are no office Charedi to have us.
Right. But they wouldn't call a group of people, they wouldn't call a battalion a Nachal Charedi if Charedi means Islamic fundamentalist. You wouldn't use such a term.
Because to them,
yeah.
It's a positive term to Hasidim. It's a positive.
Well, to the Taliban, it's also a positive term to be called
a normal Jew in Israel. It's not a positive.
Okay, I hear. But even this is not my own chidushim. I'm telling you. Rabbi Rakefet his observation. What, and one thing is certain, it's not the same like it used to be.
He would not want to be labeled a Haredi.
Well, that's him. That's his personal. That's his personal preference. We're not getting involved in his hashkafa. One thing is certain, he's definitely on the mark. It's not used the same way today, in our generation, the way it was used. Maybe it's still not exactly a compliment. It maybe have some negative connotation, some slight degree of insult, but it's not viewed the same degree of insult that was years ago. Where does it come from? It comes from this pasuk. Not only from this pasuk. It's not the only place where it appears. It appears in Yeshaya and other places as well. But here's a very good application, a very good example of how it's really used, what the pasuk with the connotation of the word. The Eli ye aslu kol choreid bidivrei Elokei Yisrael al mal hagoyla. Intolerance. Okay, that's what it means. It's intolerance. Intolerance of any small little violation of halacha. Haredi, don't go for this. This is, in our view, it's a mal, and we're not tolerant, and we're going to go to the extreme. The extreme is to grip at your hair, to rice kriya, and to fast, and to really express your frustration in a very public way. On the transgression of those who return from the exile, until the afternoon. Mincha means when they offer, here mincha can simply mean when they offer the Karban Mincha, of the Orev of the evening until the end of the day. He heard about this early in the morning, it appears, and he remained in fasting in such a state of shock for the remainder of the day. When other people saw how Ezra reacted, they joined him. They also rise kriya, they sat down on the floor, they fasted, and they accompanied him. They, misery loves, what's the expression? Misery loves company. Let's just see the Rashi and the Mitzudos, and we'll stop. Pasuk Dalet in the Rashi. There is no Rashi. Pasuk Dalet in the Mitzudos. Kol Choreid. Kol HaChoreid Bikim Divrei Hashem. Anyone that is, what's a good word for Choreid? Zealous is really shocked, but chored is they tremble. Lashon of it really means to fear, to tremble. Look. Well, Mitzudo Sion says mihirus, to be zealous in mihirus. Kimoi vayecher du ziknei choir and Shmuel. Okay, so it means to be quick. You're very quick. In this context, it means to be swift, but also has a connotation of yore, being fearful. Kol haChorei b'kim d'var Hashem hoyenesaf elai ba'avur mal hagoyla ratzolaymar lahavir hamal hazeh. They wanted action. They just didn't. Right? He's saying something very powerful to them. They didn't just sit around. Oh no! Oh Rachmana Litzlan, terrible. No, okay. Business as usual. We'll have a fast day. We'll mourn about it. And what are we going to do about it? Nothing. No hishtadlus. If you don't have hishtadlus, if you don't do anything about it, nothing is going to happen. You have to take action. Call for action. Lahavir hamal hazeh. Leminchas erev, lidaroin, utesuras erev. The mincha means the gift. Mincha literally means a gift. You give someone a mincha, a gift. What is the gift? The doron. And utesuras erev, the gift of the evening. Ratzolaymar, lizman hakravas tomit shalbein harboyim. So that means not the very evening, because when do you bring the mincha? You bring the mincha at 9.5 hours into the day. You bring the mincha 3 hours before the sun sets. So it says here that they did not sit in fasting. We're going to what's the next pasuk here is going to tell us exactly what he did. A very elaborate tefillah. The remainder of the parak test is the tefillah of Ezra, which we incorporate into our tefillos, and that took place at the time of the Minchas Erev, which was 3 hours before the sun set. And it appears that is the ideal time to daven mincha. You can do that every day. It's very hard to do that. Every day it's a different zman. Many even people daven different zman. They daven right before the sun sets, so they can daven ma'ariv right afterwards. But if you really want to go, really make it difficult, you daven mincha ketana, which is 3 hours before the sun sets. Then you have to wait a long time to daven ma'ariv, and that's the time when he was mispalel. Okay, we'll stop here.
The other day, if you're supposed to do a
timus,
you're supposed to do it from the day before.
The kabel. If you want to fast, you have to accept upon yourself the fast day.
Like you did it the same day for the next question.
Right. So in a chadam, this was not necessarily a timus. This was not a timus that was called for. This was just a reaction to the shocking news of what's going on. In a chadam. It wasn't a formal timus.